Well, I absolutely love Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 that Karen just read to us. It's one of my favorite paragraphs in the Bible because it paints a beautiful word picture of the original Christian church and how they approached life with Jesus. And their example matters to us today because all this happened just months after Jesus left the earth. These people walked and talked with Jesus. They were actually there. And so it's important that we take the example that they give us very seriously. They were the original church. And guys, the original is always better than the sequel. Am I right, TJ? The original is always better than the sequel, or at least in my life's experience with movies, the sequels are never quite what the original was, right? They're the original, we're the sequel. We're the next generation of the next generation of the next generation of the next generation. So the church in 33 AD was, well, pure. And the church today has been tainted by 2,000 years of religiosity, 2,000 years of tradition, 2,000 years of even corruption. So even though the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt do church the way the Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47 church did it, it's quite obvious that their approach to all things God is the model for us to follow. After all, isn't that why God included the book of Acts in the Bible? There's not much instruction there. It's mostly stories, and it's there for us to look and to watch and to learn how to do God. For us to witness the early church in action and learn a few things from them is priceless. So before we get into part one of our three-part series of talks that capture the heart of what Karen just read to us, I thought we could reread Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 together to help us get more familiar with this beautiful passage, this classic Bible reading, so we can grasp its value as a guide to Christian living. It's on the screen behind me. Would you read it with me, please? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Guys, what we just read is a complete picture of what the church should look like in all generations. And you may or may not know this, but Discovery Fellowship actually uses this exact model for our gathering on Sunday. Gather together, grow in faith, go and serve. Gather, grow, and go. And then when you look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, you read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's growing. And that's what I'm doing right now. And to fellowship from 9:30 to 10. Dave always makes sure we've got coffee and something to eat so we can sit down and fellowship together. The breaking of bread, communion, and prayer. Mary Beth, we pray every Sunday. Everyone was filled with the many wonders and signs. That's going out in the community and healing people and doing good works. And so, you know, that's going. Remember, we're talking about gather, grow, and go. It's all in there. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. That's go again. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That's gathering. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. Praising God, that's singing music and enjoying all of the people, and that's gathering. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, which is the byproduct of going. When we go out and we do things in the community, we were in Kalamazoo yesterday, and on West Medge, which is busy in Portage, I mean, it's like way busy, all the stores and shops and everything in the town basically there. And there was a church, and they were all taking turns going out and holding signs, stop and we'll pray for you, Jesus loves you. They're out doing the work of the kingdom. Going out results in people coming in to gather. And so today's focus is about gathering. But before we get there, I want to point out one thing. This is one key for this whole series on gather, grow, and go. It's the very first sentence in this paragraph, and it says, it says that they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. And I want to make sure we pay attention to devoting yourself means they didn't just come to church because it was what their religion told them to do. They devoted themselves to gathering, to growing, and to going. It was a devotion. It was a decision. It was something that they were passionate about. Nobody had to come to them and say, are you going to church today? Because the answer would have been, well, of course I am. I'm so glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So today we're going to focus on gather together. Every day they met together in the temple courts. And by the way, that word meeting together from the Greek, which the New Testament is written into, means just that. It means gathering together. Now in the NIV that we're reading here, it says meet together. The actual word in the Bible that's used over and over again to talk about when Christian people come together is the word gather. Even when Jesus comes back for what some people refer to as the rapture, the Bible says he'll send his angels to gather the elect to meet him in the air. Gather is a big concept. And for us, gathering includes fellowship and prayer and worship and the things that we do here on Sunday morning. And I want you to know, and this, if you want to turn to your notes, this is where we're getting started on that. The A2 church, or the Acts 2 church, gathered regularly. The A2 church gathered regularly. And they gathered for fellowship, praise, prayer, teaching, and communion, which is what we do. We gather for fellowship, praise, prayer, teaching, communion. And the fun thing is, fellowship isn't always just 9:30 to 10 o'clock. It's picnics and pig roasts out at Meredith's place. It's potlucks on Mother's Day. We fellowship in many different ways. And we worship in many different ways. And by the way, that word, we talked about meeting together being prayer, but I want to kind of touch base on some of these. Fellowship. It says they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. That's fellowship. They didn't do it in church. They didn't necessarily do it on Sunday morning. Fellowship was common to them. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Anybody get the concept that they were sharing life together? It was less of the nuclear family we are today, where we come gather and we go home and do our own thing all week. They actually liked each other. And they fellowship together regularly. So the A2 church gathered regularly. Fellowship was one. They also gathered to worship. It says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And they would worship there. But they would also do outreach there to other Jews who had not yet come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And I'm sure as they were gathering and worshiping, they had Psalm 95, 1 through 7, in their heads. This was written by King David, and it says this: come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he has made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Guys, God is worthy to be praised and worshiped. And when we come together, we often do it in song. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when there's a lull in the song, I'll shout out a couple of words, mostly in my head, sometimes out loud to God, words of praise and glory. God is worthy to be worshiped and praised. And then prayer, teaching, and communion are the last ones, and those are all covered in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's the sermon, and to fellowship, that's what we do before church, and the breaking of bread, that's communion, and prayer, which is all things that we do here in our gathering together. So we are following the model that Acts chapter 2 set for us. Every element of gathering listed in Acts 2 is the way we do Discovery Sunday. And I think that that's important for you to know that. What we do is biblical. What we do is following the model of the original church. Without added traditions, without individual personal wants and needs, we do what they did because that was a pure church. And we want to worship in the way that they are worshiping. So, it's important for us to know that the 8-2 church gathered regularly. Number two, this is important. Gathering is what real Jesus followers do. Gathering is what real Jesus followers do. You know, there's always this big question when you talk to people. Well, where in the Bible does it say thou shalt go to church on Sunday? I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. But I just don't go to church, and that's okay. Okay, so where do we get the idea then as a church? Sometimes we say, well, maybe that's not so much okay. Well, first off, it's what, listen now, real Jesus followers do. Remember that word devoted? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. They made a big deal of it. It was something that they wanted to do. It was something they desired to do. Just like sometimes you get the desire to go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac. And when you get it up in your head, it's like, get out of my way, I'm going to get a Big Mac. That's what they were like when it comes to church. It was the highlight of their week. It was what they desired to do. So gathering is what real Jesus followers do, first and foremost. And then we've got Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, which is not a commandment. I'm going to be honest, there is no commandment that says thou shalt go to church. But here the writer said, and let us continue how we may spur one another onward towards love and good deeds, and not give up meeting together, which is that same Greek word gathering, as some people are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now you can play with those words and decide whether it says we have to gather, or whether this guy was just saying, please don't give it up. But that doesn't matter, because real Jesus followers gather. It's what we do. It's part of our DNA. And it's important to remember that. If you're a real Jesus follower and you have to miss a Sunday, okay, so I had somebody call me this morning and say, hey, I can't be there, I'm sick. And that person started crying on the phone because they couldn't be here with us today because they were sick. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Okay? Gathering is what real Jesus followers do. Number three, Discovery is busy adding new gatherings and gatherers. Is gathering important? To gather together, how important is that? Well, in our day and time, churches are having a problem getting people on the outside to come in where they are. Now, we have the luxury of not being in a building on the corner with people on top. We're here at the Senior Center. But there's a lot of people who will never park the doors of the building on the corner with the steeple on top. There's much distrust of Christians. We're hypocrites, and all we want is people's money. And I have to say that people didn't just make those opinions up. It's out there. So that all the rest of us suffer for it. The kingdom of God suffers for it. But Discovery is busy adding new gatherings and gatherers. If you remember last year, we started a 5-year plan that by the year 2028, we were going to accomplish 3 major things having to do with gathering. Number one, we were going to enlarge our Sunday morning worship service to 100 people. And right now, and your lead team can verify this, we have been busy since we became a full-fledged pre-Methodist church, getting all of our ducks in a row and everything in line. We're starting to see new people coming in. And we're very, very glad of that. In the last year, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 new people come here on Sunday morning and join us on a regular basis. That is absolutely amazing. And we're working hard on that. But guess what? God and the Holy Spirit are working just as hard too, because we can't take any credit for it. So we are working to enlarge our Sunday morning gathering. Number two, part of our goal was to establish 3 new micro fellowships. And by the way, what is a micro fellowship? It's church. But it's probably for us who hang around church a long time, it might be more like a small group. Okay? And I like to explain it this way. If you come to church on Sunday morning, what you would look at what we're doing would be a small group. If you don't come to church on Sunday morning, look at what we're doing as church. It is a church, a small group, in a safe space like a house or some other place, where people who will never come here on Sunday morning and yet are seeking God have the opportunity to gather and do all of those things that the Acts chapter 2 verses 42 through 47 church did. And just for your knowledge, we have one that's been in focus for quite a long time, and that's Bonfire Chapel. And Meredith, would you grab your mic and give us a couple of updates? And I might even spur some thoughts if you don't hit on them about what's going on with Bonfire Chapel.
So we're telling the big one.
Let's tell them the big one. Let's get to it.
So we're working on building a building out back by the pond so that we can meet year round out there. And we're doing some planning and some site evaluation, and big things are happening.
Yep.
And I've been working with a lady for almost a year. And this guy here has been telling me that people won't come to church with a steeple for years as well. And this lady just in conversation sat down and talked to me last week and said that she was raised in a Catholic church. You can't get her inside a church building, but she might come out to a place where there's a bonfire. So praise the Lord.
That's the idea behind these micro fellowships. And Bonfire Chapel started, didn't we just kind of start that as just a summer kind of a thing? I don't know. We were having a great time meeting around the bonfire at Meredith's pond, TJ's pond. I mixed up who actually owns that thing. But anyways, and we'd have a meal. Go ahead.
This is our fourth year, too.
Yeah. And so we finally got focused on what we're doing. Meredith's original goal was to reach out to the people that she knows are in her realm of influence that are not going to church and find a way to reach them for the kingdom of God. And for a long time, Bonfire Chapel was mostly us going out and enjoying ourselves at it. Now we're getting back to focus on her being able to reach the lost in her sphere of influence who aren't regularly going to church. So that's Discovery, that's Bonfire Chapel. We're also ready to start a new house church. We have a family who was coming for a while, and for whatever reason, they quit gathering with us on Sunday. I've been in conversations with them. Within a month, we're going to start a new house church with them. We're currently meeting to plan everything out, and we'd actually be started today, except they're getting new floors put in their living room, and we're waiting for the new floors before we actually start. So there's a second one. I've got 2 other house churches in the works that are coming together. Oh, and by the way, on our first house church Sunday here, we're pretty much guaranteed 12 people, and they have a span of influence of a total of about 25 people that we may be able to ultimately reach for the kingdom of God. Probably none of them will ever come here on Sunday, but they'll be meeting on Sunday during the week at whatever time works for them, and they will be gathering, growing, and going with us as Discovery Fellowship, but in a way a little bit aside of us. And we also have what we've been working on for almost a year, Discovery Online. Can you pull that one up? So we've mostly been working kinks out. This has been available to all of you for over a year. You can go to our website, dfchurch.net. You can go to Gather and go to Gather Online. And these are the songs. Now, this is last week's show. These are the songs that we sang that week. So even if you miss church on a Sunday and you can't come to gather with us and you didn't get a chance to watch on Facebook like we're doing now, you can go to our website, to this page, And each of these are our songs that we sang that Sunday. And then Gene and I built a small studio in the parsonage, and I pre-record the services, or my message. It's usually about 15 minutes long, and it's there. We've also got prayer ideas down there and some other things where you can go in a self-contained way, 24/7, 365, and worship. And this was mostly done for us. If you can't come to church, but now we're going to start advertising it. Now that I finally learned how to preach to a camera, I'll be honest with you, that's been the hardest part of this whole process. It is very hard to be in a room all by yourself and preach the Word of God to a camera. I've finally gotten used to doing that, and that looks a lot better. So now we're going to start making this available to other people outside of our sphere of influence. And if we have a house church with people who aren't quite in a place where maybe they could do the service themselves, they have all the tools they need right here. And then we would give them a list of questions and discussion questions after this 10 to 15 minute version of the sermon that they can talk about. So we are busy finding ways to help people gather. But most importantly, guys, we are empowering, equipping, and enabling a network of disciples making disciples. Our goal by 2028 is to have over 30 disciples making disciples. And why is that important? Well, a disciple is a step up from somebody who's just kind of coming to church. It's someone who's feeling a call to action. It's someone who begins to have a passion to help Jesus accomplish his mission. And what is his mission? Well, his mission is based on God's greatest desire. God desires that all people would know him and come to a relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ. And so more people will come and gather as we equip one another to go out and share the good news and invite them to come. And guys, if you look around at those 12 or so new people that have come in the last year, a lot of them started and they've all invited somebody. And now somebody else is coming. That's so often the way it works in church. Get new people coming and they're going to invite their sphere of influence. When we talk amongst ourselves, a lot of us say, well, I've asked everybody I know. I don't have any greater of a sphere of influence. Well, if you are a disciple, go out and grow your sphere of influence. Go out and meet new people. Start volunteering somewhere. Start doing something. You may have a master's degree, but go take a college course on something that you're interested in and meet people there. There are so many ways that we can go out and meet new people. You know, decide that when you go shopping at Walmart, besides rushing through and getting your groceries, you're going to go around and very slowly walk around and, you know, window shop. And if somebody comes by and you get a chance to talk to them, we meet new people and we invite them to go to heaven. And so, disciples making disciples. And through all of this, we are going to come to the place where we are a gathering church. It's not everybody on Sunday morning in one space, but that's okay. Because to be honest with you, most church professionals, the guys that help churches grow, they are saying unequivocally that by the year 2040, the church as we know it will be almost dead and gone. Why? Because the generation of people that are willing to pay the bills and do the work are dying off. And you can't maintain the big building and the big staff and all that stuff when you don't have people willing to contribute and do the work. And 2040 is the standard statement from most of these guys who are talking to churches all the time and hearing them say, hey, we're barely making it. Hey, we've got this, we're this huge church on US 23, which is one of our Free Methodist churches I'm referring to. On US 23, and we've got a $5 million building, and for the last 5 years, we've only been able to pay the interest. And now we're struggling to get people to do that. We owe money to the annual conference of the Free Methodist Church, and we can't come up with enough money to do that. We've reduced our staff as far as we can. We've tried to cut our costs as much as we can. That is the reality. Look around, right down the road, Church of God, over to the right. they finally just shut down. Wally took over as the pastor when their pastor retired a year or so or 2 years ago. He wasn't a pastor. He was just a guy that was a member there. Now they're closing. Churches are closing everywhere. And so that's why we're investing in these micro fellowships, because ultimately they're going to become the future of the church. But right now, there are ways that we can go out and reach more people so that they come and gather, that they discover, trust, and follow Jesus, and ultimately they begin to invite their friends and do the work of the kingdom in these dark days so we can reach as many people as we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here's the big idea for the day. Discovery's mission is to help people discover Jesus' love, trust his lead, and follow his example. And accomplishing our mission begins with gathering regularly for fellowship, praise, prayer, teaching, and communion. It's what real Jesus followers do. And I got a couple of next steps to help you along the way if you want to start stepping into this more and more. Number one, reread today's Bible verses this week. They're down at the bottom of your sermon notes. Number two, pray for the passion to gather regularly. I mean, it's okay to pray that, you know, those doors are open and you can come, but let's get to the level where we're praying for a passion to gather regularly. We desire to do this greatly. Number three, make gathering weekly your goal. Make a commitment. Remember, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Make gathering your weekly goal. Make it something that you're devoted to doing. And then finally, bring a friend to one of our gatherings. Bring a friend to one of our gatherings. That's why we gather. We gather to worship God, yes. But we also gather to introduce new people to Jesus, the real Jesus, who loves them and is calling them by name and asking us to go out and reach them. Let's pray.